In the office of Gloucester's Chief Administrative Officer, Jim Destino, I'm Rick Moore with MSO News Sports. And Jim, I've known you for a long time, and to see you sitting in this chair again is pretty cool and pretty amazing. Two stints, long time on the city council. Maybe a little quick background, Jim, as to how you got here and maybe some of the experience on city council that led you to this seat.
Thanks. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Jim.
Yeah, it's nice to be here after that long Patriots game, and we're going to another Super Bowl.
Okay,
so much fun, right?
Yeah. It wasn't too late a game.
So first thing Monday morning, let's see. Little past history. Obviously, the mayor and I served on the city council together, and I was the presiding officer back then. And we really had a really good relationship. So when Carolyn Kirk decided she was going to leave the city and go to work for the state, the council had to elect one of their own as a interim for the one-year term. The mayor called me up, asked me if I would serve. I said, are you kidding me? No way. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was underground for 7 years. I didn't write an op-ed piece. I never spoke at a public hearing. I kind of just went out and ran my business and enjoyed my family. But I always loved the work. And Safathia said to me, go home and ask Judy. We'll talk on Monday. So we did. And when I went home, I was, to my surprise, Judy said, I think it's great. The good part about it was that it had an expiration date. It was only 1 year.
Right.
It was only 1 year back then. And so when we got in here, and it was, you know, hit the ground running January, it was amazing to what we found, to be honest with you here. This is a really tough job. And I say that not because, you know, we're here now and it's difficult, but I say that because the job here in Gloucester, we're shorthanded and undermanned a little bit. I was at the MMA conference this weekend, a great chance to network with other cities and towns, elected officials, chiefs of staff, CAOs, and we had a meeting of all the chiefs of staffs. And there's only, in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, there's, not that many cities, actually, a lot of towns. So there were like 30 of us, chief of staff, sitting around the table, and the first question they asked everyone was, how many people in your office other than you and the mayor? And they went around, and of course, there's Boston and Worcester and a couple of other big cities there, and they would go 14 and 13 and 12. And even the Beverly Salems and Peabody's of the world were saying 6 and 7 and 9. And they got to me, and I went, well, one. It was just the mayor and I and one secretary. And we, every CAO or chief of staff had a legislative aide and a constituent service aide. We now do have extra help. We have brought in another gentleman, Chris Sicaranza, who's been an asset to our department. So it's a tough job with, especially with the things that have gone on in the past here. And that's what really makes it difficult is the bad decisions that have been made in the past. And I say bad management, business decisions, to be honest with you. The business model really of cities and towns is broken. I mean, Prop 2.5 allows you to raise taxes only so high. But when you have mayors who hand out raises and with these collective bargaining agreements, and at the same time, health insurance costs continue to skyrocket. For instance, we get, $1.9, $2 million in new money every year. This year, the first projection from the GIC is that our health insurance was going to go up $1.3 million. And our pension obligation continues to climb because of deals that were cut in the last 10 years, and it's only going to get worse. Snow and ice, we're still paying for that big storm from a couple of years ago. We have one payment left in the amortization that we did. So it's a real challenge to hold it together. When I was here just 8 years ago, DPW almost had twice the amount of men. But as you know, no one wants to cut education or public safety, and so DPW seems to be the department that always kind of got the hit. And it's challenging. So let me step back again to the year that we spent, the mayor and I, here. We did a lot of really good things. Rick, if you look at a healthy community in a pie chart, you would see that even though raises were given to public safety that were, Mayor Kirk gave a 33% increase to a department And at the same time she did that, she gave 55% more time off. So she didn't fix any problems. She just exacerbated the problem of not having people in there. And the worst part of that was she funded it with one-time money, free cash. So the first two budgets that we've been here, we had to take $1 million of our savings account, free cash, to fund that department who she gave this exorbitant raise to with one-time money. It's not sustainable. If she grew that department organically, it would have taken 8 to 10 years. Well, she did it in 1 year and just threw that money out there. And it's been, you know, it's going to be hard, especially this coming budget, to sustain that. So along with that, there was a lot of bad decisions made. And, you know, again, for 7 years, I was just, you know, reading the newspaper and thinking everything was great. And the Kirk-friendly Gloucester Daily Times made it you think that everything was wonderful, big free cash numbers, and that everything was, you know, the city was being run, you know, just wonderful. And that wasn't the case at all when we got in here. If you saw a pie chart of a healthy community, we don't spend too much on public safety. We don't spend too much on education or even DPW. The problem in our city, Rick, is that our debt is so high. Per capita debt, and again, useless type of borrowing. The McGarry-Kirk team of pushing loan orders. If you look at the 7 years you were here, it was almost a loan order every single council meeting. They borrowed more money than all the other mayors combined in the city, and borrowed to pay rent, borrowed to, you know, $1 million to fix up a swing school, and you know what was the plan going forward? I mean, we're paying. She signed a lease for 3 years up at the medical center building and for the school administration building and the preschool. But what was the plan after a three-year lease? What were we going to do then after that?
I just wonder if I might interrupt you and ask you. To me, a lot of this, Jim, seems to go back to when the former administration decided to let the Fuller School rot, for use of a better term. And there was... And I don't want to get into bashing here, but there was a survey that was sent out that when I was interviewing the mayor, she kept referring to the survey. The survey was very skewed. And as you know, you can make surveys, get the answers that you want. The Fuller property since has been of interest. It's been in the news and so on. I know we want to get to that in a minute. But so much of this from former administration seemed to be tied to that. And the other thing, you mentioned budget. I was intrigued when the fire department, Chief Smith came in, and I love Chief Smith, but they changed the entire format of how the fire department was going to be paid and so on. They got a deserved raise, I think, but contrasted with the previous money that was being spent on overtime, it seemed to me like not a wise decision that the then mayor was touting as saving money, and I don't think it did. But anyway, let's get back to the topic at hand. Jim, there's one other question I want to ask you before we get into Fuller, and I know that you have a couple of things you want to mention. From a single perspective, Jim, when you are a very successful business man, you've worked for years promoting the city, you know, a great athletic family, and you're an athletics competitor and so on. But when you work as a businessman, then you get into city council, you're going from your little neighborhood, the problems that you see as an individual, and then you step up and you see a broader scope. And now in your chair, I'm guessing it's probably even a bigger scope. So people say, you know, well, how come the pothole isn't fixed in front of my house? But there's an answer to that, I'm guessing, and it's you're sort of like now you're up in a helicopter looking over the whole city.
Yeah, again, there's a total different feel now. You know, there's 25 managers that I manage in my role here in the city, and those managers were kind of left out of the loop when it came to decision making. Now we've used them, and it's not only the city managers that weren't involved in making decisions for the administration. Even our state delegation, Bruce Tyron and Margaret, I mean, they weren't even coming in the mayor's office to talk about, you know, issues and what they can do to help. I mean, I remember when I first got here, the first month here, one of the city councilors, who had been on the city council for 6 years, said she had never been in the mayor's office. I mean, that is unheard of. They are here all the time. The city council's here all the time. We work together. We've lifted the veil off city government. And I'm going to tell you some of the positive things, Rick, that have happened since we got here. Now, you talked about Fuller School and how it was left to rot. And that was a shame. If we were here, that would have never happened. We would have maintained that building. You know, the free cash certifications that were backdoored into every police and schools and DPW and the fire departments was not real municipal budgeting. It was a shell game going on here. We put in a policy when we got here so that no other mayor would ever hand out all our free cash and raises again, would take care, so we would be able to take care of our municipal buildings and put money away for capital. So every time free cash is certified, we take 40% of it and put it into a capital stabilization fund. We take 20% of it and put it into a maintenance stabilization fund. We take 10% of it, and that goes into our regular stabilization fund. And only 30% of it is unreserved. So no mayor will ever do that again. Plus, it will puts money away for, you know, maintenance of our buildings because we have saved for it. And now the people can see that we're doing the right thing. For the first time in 10 years, every department lived within their operating budgets that the city council allocated for them. And we're heading to do that for the second year in a row. If we continue to do the right things like that, we'll put, you know, put confidence back in this government. And we've opened up the doors of government. As you know, the mayor, anybody wants to come in and talk, that door's open. That wasn't the case before. So it's a real, a better feeling about what we're doing, how we're doing it, I believe. And we're working towards, a vision that we feel is that, you know, that reflects the quality of life that people in this community want and the values that they have. So let's take Fuller, for instance. Now, when we got here, the past administration had done a survey of, spent, $130,000 to find out if a public safety building and a municipal building could go up there. Well, it came back that the preliminary numbers were $50 million to build those facilities. Now, I understand that, I mean, we can, again, continue to borrow. We can borrow $50 million, no problem, but I'm laying off teachers and firemen and policemen to pay the bill. Our capacity to pay our debt, because so much was borrowed, and I, as I said, if you look at a healthy communities pie chart, we don't spend too much money on all of those things. We spend too much money on debt, and we have to come to grips with it. And the funny thing was, if the past administration didn't realize it, then that would have been one thing. But they did, because if you read, even on our way out the door, that nothing will happen up Fuller for 10 to 15 years because we couldn't afford. We have to have some debt fall off before we can, to, you know, borrow more. I think it'll be longer, 20 years. So that's what urged us to make a decision to put Fuller on the market. It wasn't something that we wanted to do or thought, but we needed to get that place. I mean, we've always talked about expanding economic and commercial bases in town, and we want, you know, we had the referendum vote that said folks wanted a mixed use up there. So we put it out there. I thought we did a really good job putting that RFP together. You know, everybody scoffed at the $1 bid, but we did very, very well. 40 firms took out the proposal. Even though we only got one, we got a really good proposal. Might have had a little bit more housing than we thought we were going to get. But, you know, after talking and researching, we found the market is going to be right for that housing. Because if you have that type of housing, I've had a number of people come to me who are elderly, who are staying in their single-family homes and said, you know, I don't really need my house anymore. That's a good spot for me to move into, and maybe that opens up the first-time home markets in Gloucester. So it has a lot of benefits. Of course, a brand-new Y and the services they'll provide to the community, and I think it'll lift the whole Gloucester Crossing and all the retail up there. That will do better. But that's not only it. I mean, between our financial policy, again, the DOR said it was one of the most forward-thinking policies they've ever seen a small city in Gloucester put together, in the Commonwealth, I should say, put together. We're doing the types of things that people need. Matter of fact, pretty soon we're going to have an aggregation. It's called municipal aggregation. And what that does, it allows local government to combine the purchasing power of its residents to achieve savings on electrical cost. And we know everybody is getting pounded with electric costs these days. So it's been a proven and most effective way to help small consumers manage their electricity bills and has been receiving overwhelming support wherever it's implemented. We're also putting together a comprehensive strategic plan for the city, which is going to be our goals and our policies about land use and housing and open space and you know, services and facilities. Because what was the plan? I asked the school committee, why did you guys borrow inside the general fund for West Parish School? They go, we didn't know anything about it. Kirk told us at the inauguration that it was happening. And then I said, well, what was the deal with, why are you leasing a 3-year lease up at the medical center? What was the plan after that? They said there really wasn't a plan. We were just kind of doing what she wanted to do. That's not how we govern, Rick. We govern by consensus. We govern, I mean, at the end of the day, the buck stops here, and we make what we feel is the right decision for the city. But, I mean, you can't govern in a vacuum. You need these people, these high-paid managers who have expertise, you need to use it. So we have all kinds of plans on the shelves here in Gloucester that have, in the last 7 years, I don't know how much we spent, downtown work plan, open space recreational plan, harbor economic development plan, housing production plan, coastal vulnerability assessment and adaption plan. So we're going to take those plans, take the best of what's out in them, fill in the holes for what we need for capital and facilities master plan, like which are missing pieces. And then we're going to look at a strategic plan for the next 10 to 20 years for what capacity, what limits we have, what opportunities, and the implementation. And that's what we're going forward.
Okay, my head is spinning, Jim. I'm hoping we can do this again soon and maybe come up with another topic that you can talk about in depth. And I know that it's been incredibly informative, and it's good to see you back in this seat again. Anything else you might want to mention in this setting?
Well, I would like to say to the people, it's an honor to serve in this seat. I've always loved this work. I love the team I'm working with, and you know, the stereotypical folk out there that say, you know, the public employee is just, you know, great on benefits, lazy, and that's not the case. I've worked with some of the hardest working public employees in the last 2 years at anyone that I've seen in the private sector. We work long hours, very hard for the city, and we do it because we know it's the right thing to do, and we do it for the mayor. So, God bless Gloucester.
All right. Well, I know anybody who knows you, Jim, and knows Mayor Safathia, knows the hours that you put in, and I know that's appreciated. And I appreciate your taking the time today. Thank you. That's Jim Destino, who is the Chief Administrative Officer in the City of Gloucester.